Aren't you glad that God is a helper? Yes. Come on, aren't you glad that He is your heavenly helper? Yes. Hallelujah. There's an Old Testament scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by your might and not by your power. That means as Christians, we were never called to live in our own sufficiency. We were never called to walk along in life in our own strength and our own ability. Not ours. I mean, we got some. You know, we're pretty good. I mean, we're made in the image of God. You know, whether other people are Christians or not, they're still made in the image of God. I mean, we have a mind like no other creature in the earth. Praise God for that. But our mind, just natural mind, is not near what we can have when we're doing things with the Lord by the Spirit. So not by your might nor by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Christians are called to live by the Spirit. In the Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, it was to His advantage, our advantage, that He go away. So that He could send the Helper. He could send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. This was Jesus speaking. Jesus was already in the earth, here to help mankind. But He said He was going to have to go away, and He was going to send us a Helper. Now, the Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes and was going to come upon us, that we would receive power, right? I think Luke 24 says that when the Holy Spirit comes, that we would be endued with a power from on high. We get power from God through the Holy Spirit. And you know what that power is? It's a help. Amen. It's an enabling assistance from God. It's an enabling help in the earth, because God said, you can't do it yourself. You can't do it in your own strength, your own sufficiency. You can't do it in your own knowledge. You're going to have help, praise God. And the help comes from the Holy Spirit. God is a helper. Amen. He wants to help your life, and He sent someone of Himself to help us in this life. Everybody turn with me to John chapter 14. I want to look at this foundational scripture. Today we're going to continue along the lines last week. I spoke on the help of the Holy Spirit. If you've not heard that yet, you should get that and listen to that. It'll help you. But today we're going to continue along that line. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus speaking here. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Now, last week I told you that word another means one just like Him. One that would do the same thing that He would do if He was here physically. Okay? So Jesus said He was going to pray, and the Father was going to send another helper that He may abide with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, John 14, verses 16 and 17. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. Did you hear that? God said He was sending us a helper. Praise the Lord. We have a helper in the earth. We have help in the earth. We need to know that. We need to take advantage of that. We need to utilize our help in the earth as Christians. Jesus said here that we would know the Holy Spirit. We would know Him. You know, that's part of what makes Christianity different from all the other false religions. First of all, their God is false, but we get to know the true God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we receive Him as Lord and Savior, we get to know God. We get to know Jesus, and we get to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, because He dwells with us and will be in us. You know, you can know about someone, and you can know of someone. It's different from really knowing them. I mean, knowing them, who they are, what they like, their character, their personality, you know, how they just know their life. How do you get to know people? By hanging out with them. You can't even just watch people from afar and really know them. You get to know them by hanging out with them. Listen. And if you really want to know someone, live with them. Live with them. Well, guess what? We are living with the Holy Spirit. He lives in, He knows me. I know Him. This scripture says you know him. Not that you might know him. No, you know him. He's in you. We have to believe that. The first thing of really experiencing the knowing him is believing that. Having faith, I know him. I might want to know him more. We are progressively wanting to know him more. But we know him. We know he's here. He dwells with me. He's with me everywhere I go. He's with you everywhere you go. Come on, he's with you at work. He's with you as you clean at your house. Come on, he's with you everywhere. He's with you in the shower. He's with you in the morning. Come on, he's with you at night. He's with you all the time. He's a personal friend. He's our help. He dwells with us. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I will give you another, or have the Father send you another helper. Now that word breaks down to these things, these six things. The Holy Spirit as a helper is our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. And he is our standby. Hallelujah. We're to know him as the helper, the one who comes alongside. And I believe that we can see in the Bible all throughout the New Testament, the book of Acts, when the new church rose up after Jesus was resurrected and went to live with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. And we see all kinds of stories of the early church knowing the Holy Spirit. All the stories of the Holy Spirit coming alongside them, comforting them, helping them, come on, assisting them, counseling them, teaching them, guiding them, standing alongside them, defending them, upholding them, strengthening them. All kinds of stories in the Bible. And we need to know those stories. If you don't know the helpership of the Holy Spirit from the scriptures yet, that needs to begin your study today. The reason I say that is because I believe that the call of the Christian life is to live in the Holy and the helpership of the Holy Spirit. The call of the Christian life is to live in the helpership of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. I mentioned this scripture last week, but I just want to show you right here. The Bible says, you know, that in the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to live and move and have our being. It's the call of the church to live in the help of the Holy Spirit. It's the call of the kingdom. It's kingdom life helping, the helpership of the Holy Spirit. Every believer, not just preachers, not just people who've been doing it a long time, every believer is supposed to live in the reality of the helpership of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. You see that? Walking in the comfort, that word comfort means a coming alongside. It's a help. It's an assistant. The Bible says that the churches, which we know the churches were not a building, the churches were the people. So all the people of Samaria and all the people of Galilee, all the people were living in the reality of the help of the Holy Spirit. When you see the word walk in the Bible, many times that word is denoting your daily life. It's how you live day by day, step by step. When you see run, it usually means milestones or significant events in your life. This says that they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That means every day. In their daily life, all the time, they were walking in the help of the Holy Spirit. We got to know that. We got to believe that that's for us. Just like we see those great stories in the Bible, we need to know about stories today. We need to believe this enough to act upon it enough to have our own stories of the Holy Spirit helping us in life. Because God didn't leave us just to do this all alone. Listen, your life matters. First of all, your life matters for yourself. God is a Father. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to help you. He wants you to have a good life. He wants to always cause you to triumph. He wants to lead you into victory. God wants to do that because he loves you, because you're his child. So your life matters to you, but your life matters to others also. Amen. Other people need to see the victorious Christian life. Come on. In this church, we need to see the victorious Christian life. It causes us to come up, together, be strengthened, be encouraged when we see believers living this supernatural, spirit-filled life. We're called to do this together. It's important to God. It's important to you and to other people that we know how to lean on the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us in big things? Absolutely. Listen, but I've learned that when you've learned to get him involved in the little things, when you've learned to live with him in the day by day, it seems a little easier for him to come alongside in those big things. Because we've seen God come through and God come through. He will help us in the big things, but he helps us in the little things. All the little details God is interested in. He's interested in helping all of your life. Not just part of your life, all of your life. He's interested in your work and your relationships. He's interested in everything about you. That's why he sent a helper. We got to know him. We got to let him help us. Our first thing should be, wow, I've got help of the Holy Spirit. Wow, today I'm up. Anything that comes my way, just living today, I have the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he doesn't just help, like I said, preachers. I remember when I first got Spirit-filled and I began to learn about the Holy Spirit, I was so excited. It's still exciting. Amen. Amen. We cannot take for granted this wonderful spiritual life that we have in the Spirit. Amen. It's precious to God. It cost Jesus his life. It's wonderful. That song, oh, just the wonders of this life with the Holy Spirit. So we have to remember that he wants to help us. And so I was so excited. Brand new Spirit-filled Christian, met the Holy Spirit. Wow, now everything is like you wake up every day and every day is different. The sky is bluer. Come on, the sun is brighter. Everything is just better. There's the Holy Spirit. And so I began to really seek after the help of the Holy Spirit. I was so excited that there was someone bigger than me, that there was someone more powerful than me, that there was someone smarter than me. Come on, that there was someone that was holier than me, that was now living in me to help me. And I was determined that I was going to see the stories in the Bible in my life, not just the Holy Spirit. Praise God that he is the miracle worker. We love that. And yes, he's done miracles. He's done miracles for me. But also the Holy Spirit as the revealer. The Holy Spirit as my helper. We teach here a lot about us helping other people. And it is about you helping other people. Jesus came to the earth and he showed us how to live and he helped other people. The Holy Spirit will help you help other people. Really, you have no help for other people spiritually than through the Holy Spirit. But Jesus himself also had help of the Holy Spirit himself for his own life. We need to have faith in the Spirit of God to help us in life. And part of it is about us remembering every day when we wake up, today is a new day, it's a new life, and I put my thought toward God, toward the Holy Spirit, toward my help. And so I was working it in the early days. I was proving things out. I was following, you know, this leading and finding out how the Holy Spirit would lead me and what he would do. And I remember one day I got up to go to work. And this was before I was a preacher, before I even knew I was going to be a preacher. I was a believer. And I got up one morning and I went in my closet. I had a little place where I kept my jewelry and I was putting my jewelry on. And all of a sudden, as I put on my ring, a diamond was missing. And this was not like a diamond chip. This was like a diamond. This was like a big size diamond, like an expensive diamond. It was important to me. It had been given to me by someone and it was gone. It was completely gone. Oh, I was like, oh my gosh. It had been there the night before. Somehow I knew I had gotten home with it, but I couldn't find it. It wasn't in that ring. I looked everywhere. You know how that goes. The frantic search begins. I mean, I'm looking everywhere. First you do the general sweep. You know, then you get down to, it becomes detail by detail room. Then it becomes every crack. Then you're on your hands and your knees. Then your hair is pulled up. You know, then it's a feeling. See, I did everything. And while I was doing this, let me make note here. While I was doing this, kind of just subconsciously, I'd be like, Lord, help me, you know, Lord, help me. But it wasn't really like, okay, now, Lord, it was like, I'm doing this, Lord, I'm doing this. And it was kind of just my thought, oh, you know, Jesus is there. Just a statement. Do you do that? I hear people do that a lot. Help me, Lord. And I know that when they say that, they've not connected their faith with that help at all. Just listen, you be careful about that. You be careful about just getting little Christianisms and little things that you, don't you throw up a praise God all the time without connecting your heart with it. Those things will mess you up. The Bible says we're not to give lip service. That we're to connect our heart with things. If you start throwing things out with your mouth and not connecting your heart, you'll find that your words won't carry the right power. Amen. Amen. So all of a sudden, I just realized that the diamond was nowhere to be found. I mean, it was just not anywhere in the house. Well, by this time, I was going to be late for work. You know, I was really upset about it. I walked into my kitchen, and all of a sudden my kitchen was connected to my utility room where I went out to get into the garage. And I walked into the kitchen, and all of a sudden as I got into the kitchen, I just paused. And in my heart, I thought, I have the help of the Holy Spirit. He is my helper. He helps me. He knows where that diamond's at. He knows where. He knows whether it's in the house and I just can't see it, and he needs to put it somewhere where I can see it or make me see it. Or he knows it's not in the house and he has the heavenly assistance of the angels. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He's they work. And so I just stood there in the kitchen and I said, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. And I need you to find that diamond. I need you to find the diamond. You're going to find the diamond. And I just stood there. Just stood there. I don't know how long I stood there, but I stood there. There's something. I was like, you know what? I'm not walking out of this house. I had people come and clean my house that day. And somehow in my consciousness, I knew if I walked out of that house, that was it. There was no recovery for me after that point. And I just stood there for a moment. And all of a sudden, I just felt in my heart, leading of the Spirit, to walk into the utility room. Now, I had cleaned the utility room. I had swept all stuff, you know, everything from the corners into the, I had done it all. But I walked into that utility room. And when I walked into the utility room, I looked at my door. And there was it was like the light of God. Woo! And right in the very crevice between my door, where my door caught, and my grout of my tile was sitting my diamond. And it was like the lights from the window, the door, were shining on it. And it went, woo! And I went, he helped me. You know, we think of things like that. May not seem it. That was important to me. What it taught me was that the Holy Spirit really is my helper. If I will look to him, if I will use my faith to connect with him. He wants to help us in life. That's what that word, the comforter, the come alongside, the help. The Bible actually defines it as the one who comes along and assists those appealing to him. Those that are asking for his assistance, it's his job to come along and to help them. Then he's our counselor. So he's a comforter, but now he's also the counselor. He gives us counsel on life. Did you know that in the world, people pay all kinds of money to go see counselors, all kinds of counselors, financial counselors, come on, all kinds of counselors that people are looking for. But God said that through the Holy Spirit, he would counsel us. All the affairs of life, he sent help for us so that we can know what to do, so that we can know where to go, how to get it done. One of the aspects of him as a counselor is that he's a teacher. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is your teacher? He's your primary teacher. Certainly he's your teacher of the Bible. Turn with me over there. Let's look at that scripture. It's in John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus again speaking, he said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Hello? We have a teacher of all things, and he will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit, we need to know the Holy Spirit as a teacher. We need to have faith in him as a teacher. He's the one who teaches us the scriptures. We need to have a vibrant life in him so that we can connect with him. He's the one that guides us into truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into truth. He illuminates truth. He helps us understand truth. He's the one that keeps us from error. He's the one that keeps us from getting off track. He's the one that keeps us from hearing all the stuff that gets popular and is nowhere in the Bible. He's the one that keeps us from falling all the Christian myths that run around in the church all these years. He's the one that does that. You must know him in that regard. You must know when something is said wrong, hopefully not here, but wherever. If something, if you hear it and it scratches, you better set it aside. He is the teacher, and he teaches us all things. He can teach us anything we need to know. Another scripture, 1 John 2, verse 20 says that we have the unction from the Holy One and that we know all things. We have the unction or the anointing. The anointing is the putting of the Spirit upon us. From the Holy One, the Spirit of God, and we know all things. The next time you're thinking you're not knowing something, stop saying you're not knowing something and begin to look to the Helper and say, now, Holy Spirit, I know you know that. You live in me. So you know that, so I know that. So I know that. That's settled. I know it. And then, you know, you might be riding in your car a couple of minutes later and boom, wow, it comes. He is the revealer of Scripture, and he will teach you, give you revelation of the Scripture for the things that you need in that moment. If you will look to him and seek after him, if you will stop getting, listen, Lord. I just heard the Lord say that. Many of you have made your own natural, your own self-made spiritual plan of how you think you're going to grow. And you're missing out on some revelation because you're walking along a path that you've determined, not a path that God has set. God knows. He knows what revelations you need at what time. So years ago, again, not when I was a preacher, had a secular job. In my job, we had a busy season every part of the year. My busy season was for 3 months. I would work about 60 hours a week, 6 days a week. A lot of work. I had done this for many years. I knew my job very well, didn't vary much in how things had to get done and the amount of time it took. So this particular year, I had one woman in my office that was also an accountant that could help me in these types of things. And so between her 60 hours a week, between my 60 hours a week, we would get it done. And so the very first week of the busy season, she went out with a premature baby. And so now here it was me, all alone in the busy season, with 120 hours worth of weekly work to do. I knew not know how to do that. I couldn't physically, I couldn't wrap my head around that. I didn't know. I just was like, Lord, but I did know one thing, that I had a helper. I knew I had a helper. I knew that I was not sufficient of myself in this hour to do this, and I had a helper. And so I began seeking the Lord. Lord, now, Lord, I need your help. You know, by the Spirit, just going to have to help me every day. And so the first thing that the Lord said, He said to get up every morning an hour earlier and spend it with him. Now, I'm a night person, and I did primarily much of my night stuff with the Lord at night, and I was already, this night person was already getting up early in the morning to get my 60 hours in. And the Lord said, get up an hour earlier. And I was like, that must be the devil. That must have come from the devil. It must have come straight from the pit of hell. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And the next day, again, the Lord was like, you need to get up an hour early. And I was like, okay, Lord. Well, you know what? I know that I have help in the Holy Spirit. If we're going to get God's help, we're going to have to do what God says. Amen. First, we're going to have to seek Him, but then we're going to have to do what He says. Amen. So I began getting up early. Now, as I was going to work, what I was finding happened, you know, the first week, it might not have been real visible to me. But by the second week, I could already see that something really supernatural was happening. I mean, I would get home at the end of the day, just my regular, you know, 60 hours in that week. I would get home and realize that I had done so much work that it was not physically possible. I had done this for many, many, many years. And listen, I'm a fast worker. I'm not slow. It was not physically possible to get that. I would get home and I think, I don't know how that happened. I don't know. But I knew it must be the Holy Spirit helping me. And so somewhere down along this line of getting up early in the morning, one morning I was with the Lord and He said, read chapter 3, verse 2. And so I was reading and it talks about the commandments of God and how they bring peace. And then it says, and length of days and long life. Well, when I read that length of days and long life, it's like it illuminated to me. But what illuminated to me was like the and. Length of days and long life, because it seems like length of days would mean long life. So I was like, well, Lord, what does that mean? And God gave me a revelation. In that moment, He gave me a revelation of supernatural time redemption. I'm talking about where time, who is a work of God's hand, and God said He would put everything, He would give us dominion over the work of His hands. How in the Bible there are instances of people lengthening time, stopping time. Joshua calls the sun to stop. God gave me a revelation. And what I recognized was in that revelation, this was what was happening for me at work. Somehow in my days at work, something in the realm of time was expanding and allowing me to get, like, instead of, if it's, you know, 10 hours a day was worth of work, I was getting like 20 hours worth of work in those same 10 hours. So there was an expansion. This was supernatural. I still to this day can't explain how it works, but it does. What happened is God, through the Spirit, it was the Spirit that gave me a revelation. He gave me a revelation in a season that I needed for my life. And I want y'all to know that entire busy season, I got every bit of that work done without ever working extra. So the 120 hours of work, my 60 and her 60, I now did all of it in 60 hours a week. Because the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation, because the Holy Spirit taught me something. And I have lived off that revelation. I have used that revelation. I have had things disappear out of my computer and I've reversed time and made them come. I mean, I've got a revelation by the Holy Spirit for my life. That's what He does. That's what He does for you. If you need it, He'll teach it to you. He'll give you a revelation of it. His goal is to help you. And these things then don't have to be huge. They can be small things. I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. This is in my early days. And so my sister came to visit and brought my nephew and my niece. Well, my nephew at this time was into wild and exotic animals, okay? And they lived in a small town. So he was always excited when he came to Houston because his mother would let him go to the pet store and he would buy some wild, exotic. I mean, they had sugar gliders. Every type of animal you can possibly imagine. So this trip, here we are. We're at the pet store. I'm shaking my head already, but my sister's like, you know, what do you want? So this time he chose a prairie dog. Now, do y'all know what a prairie dog is? They are not intended for the house. Just let me say that. So they put it in a cage, and the lady that sold it to my nephew was over there telling my sister and my nephew that, listen, these things, they're very skittish. First of all, they're super fast. They said, you will not catch it. okay? Super fast. So it's in the cage and they're very skittish. And until they get to know you, they're real scared of you. So whatever you do, don't open the cage for several weeks until you get it trained, until it gets familiar, until, and she showed, you know, when you can do this and it will come towards you to get food and you can pet its head, then you'll know. I'm like, did y'all hear that? Y'all heard that now, right? Because it's my house we're going to for a couple of days. So we drive back home a few hours later. I'm sitting in the den with my sister, my mother, a couple other people. And all of a sudden, I hear like this ruckus. I mean, it's like something's, you know, going on in the back. And so I get up and I walk to the back room. And the first thing I see is the cage with the door open and no prairie dog in the cage. And instantly my eyes are about this big and I'm like, Reed, where is the prairie dog? And he's like, well, I let it out and it was behind my bed. So it was behind my bed, so like he was on one end and he had a broom and my niece was on the other end and they were trying to catch, but it was so fast. And before you know it, it would get from behind the bed and it would be somewhere. It was just all over everywhere. I was chasing it. My sister was chasing it. We were all chasing this prairie dog around the house. My whole time that lady, you can't catch it, you can't catch it, you can't catch it. And I'm thinking, she's right, I can't catch it, I can't catch it. All of a sudden, it got into my den, and I had speakers. And somehow, it went up and crawled, squeezed itself up into the inside of my speakers. Well, I have to say, at least I was at first a little excited that it was contained in one spot. But I was like, what am I going to do about this? So I said, that's it. I called the whole family together. I said, everybody, sit down. Because I was really upset. Sit down. I said, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is going to help me. And so I made them sit right there. I didn't let anybody up. Nobody was moving. And I just paced the floor and I just began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And just remember, the Holy Spirit's my helper. The Holy Spirit knows how to get that prairie dog out of that speaker. The Holy Spirit can help me do this. And I just was speaking in tongues and, you know, connecting myself with the help of the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit, with the wisdom of the Spirit, with the teacher. He's a teacher. And all of a sudden, it's just like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like all of a sudden, I don't even think I said anything. They were all still just sitting like this. I wasn't barely praying. I was really praying. And all of a sudden, I was like, ah. And I walked to my back room, my little utility room. I'm a single woman, okay? And I had a little bitty toolkit that was about this big. That was about it. I mean, you know, it might have had four little of those miniature, but I just walked back there. I got that thing. I mean, to me, it felt like this big, you know, at the moment, because I don't know how to use any of those tools. And I just walked over to that speaker, and by the Spirit of God helping me, I took apart that speaker and took it apart, and there was the thing, and it's almost like the prairie dog was froze just for a moment for me to get that cage up there. I got him in, shut the door, and then I put the speaker back together where it actually played. That is a miracle. But the help of the Holy... See... Where are we looking to the Spirit versus the natural thing? Is our first thought, oh, let me call animal control and have somebody, or, oh, let me call my friend that shouldn't be our first thought. If we feel led of the Spirit to have a friend helper, listen, God helps us help each other. It's not about doing everything by ourselves, but it's about the Holy Spirit directing our help. I said in first service, I'm going to say it again. If you're always looking to the natural, if you're looking to go the natural way, you're going to get a natural result. You're always going to get a natural result. Any situation that you're in, we have supernatural help. We're not to think that we're so sufficient in and of ourselves. Our sufficiency comes from God through the Spirit. Our first thought should be, I have the help of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, help me. What do I do here? teach me something, guide me, counsel me. He counsels us. He counsels us. He tells, first of all, he knows everything. He knows today. He knows yesterday. He knows everything to come. The Bible says that we can actually ask him about things, great and mighty things that we don't even yet know. He can counsel us in life. Counsel you in your steps. Counsel you in your job. Are you looking for a job with the Holy Spirit, or are you looking for a job yourself? I won't get all off in it in first service, because first service the Lord made me, but are you looking for a spouse naturally, using natural methods and natural means in your own way, in your own timing? Or are you looking to the Lord? You're going to get a natural result if you're doing natural things. And as spiritual people, that's not what we're after. Listen, we have the advantage of the Holy Spirit. We are the Spirit-filled Christian bunch. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that love God and love Jesus, but they're not interested in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it is about it. I mean, it's like shove him in the back room. It's like don't preach about him. Don't help anybody get filled with the Spirit. Don't pray in tongues. Don't teach all that stuff. This is the day of the Holy Spirit. We are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. We must know the Holy Spirit. We must live by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, daily steps with the Holy Spirit. He must be our first go-to. Not things of the natural way. He is required to help us if we call upon him. It is a requirement that he help us. He is our counselor. He will counsel you. You know, the Holy Spirit counseled me into marrying Pastor Chaz. I mean, that's a good thing. I'm glad he counseled me that way. But listen, I wasn't looking for a husband. All I wanted was God's will. Inventory check. And it's not just about what you say. It's about really what rolls around on the inside of you. If you have this perpetual something rolling around on the inside of you, you need to deal with that. You need to see your sufficiency and all of your substance through God and let God add and bring anything else. But the Holy Spirit counseled me into life with Pastor Chaz. Laid down one night, had a dream. I married him. Then I had, you know, followed the steps of the Lord. The Spirit of God was dealing with him. But he will counsel you into the good thing. He will counsel you into the perfect thing. He will counsel you into his way. Let me tell you what's important about the counsel of God. You want to know? Proverbs 21, verse 30. Turn there. Proverbs 21, verse 30. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that it's the things of God are revealed to us, the things of God revealed to our spirit by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the mind of Christ. You don't have to be limited to your own intellect. Even though you may be very smart, listen, your natural smarts isn't enough. It's not going to get you the counsel that you need to win and succeed in life. It may get you down a pretty far road, but it's not going to do the job. I love the story Brother Hagin used to tell. There was a man who was a financial investor. And, you know, he that was his job, and that's what he did all the time. And sometimes he would make money, and sometimes he would lose money. But when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he understood that now he had the counsel of God. And he would not ever make a business transaction with the stock market until he knew what the Spirit told him. He knew how the Spirit led him. He said sometimes something will look great, like this is going to be a great opportunity, but he would have a restriction from the Lord. And sure enough, down the road, that thing would not pan out. Or an opportunity would come to him and this would look like this. This doesn't look like this is going to do much. But he would feel of the Lord to act upon that. And it would make him millions of dollars. He became a millionaire. Nothing wrong with being a millionaire. It was God that taught him how to be a millionaire. God that teaches you how to profit and get wealth. He never, ever lost money one time after he got filled with the Spirit, because he learned the help of the Holy Spirit. He learned the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Look what happens here. The Bible says, Proverbs 31:30, there is no wisdom, that means man's wisdom, or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Did you hear that? There's no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no plan, there's no force, there's no nothing that can stand against the counsel of the Lord. Now listen, it does not say that something cannot come against the counsel. The devil will come against it, try to convince you you're not hearing the right thing. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know His leadings? Do you know the difference versus your mind and the mind of God? Do you know the difference between your own flesh and your own desire versus the leading of the Holy Spirit? But the Bible says that against the counsel of God, nothing can stand. So if you know God's counsel and you stand in it and you don't move and you don't faint and you don't get wishy-washy in doubt and you don't lay down and you don't get discouraged and you don't move on and you don't put your own time parameters in it and think God's not working fast enough, surely something must be wrong. If you will stand in faith with the counsel of God, it will come to pass. And if I have ever seen that at work in my life, I saw it with that building. Because God said it was ours, and everybody and everything else said it was not. The owner said it was not. The banker said it was not. The number of members said it was not. The numbers of money said it was not. Everything was contrary to that counsel. And listen, I want to tell you, there were times I just think, wow, well, let's just buy something else. Let's just get another piece of land, Lord. Just let us do something else. And I would get in that car. We'd go to try to go look at a property, and I'd be like, ugh, I feel sick. Ah, we can't do it. We can't do it. It's the counsel of the Lord. We are going to have that building. We're going to have that property. Amen. And we stood. We stood in the counsel of the Lord against every devil, against every owner, against every bank. And now it's ours. Amen. And now we're having a building. Because it's the counsel of the Lord. I couldn't have done that if it wasn't. I couldn't have done that based on just what I wanted. It wouldn't have worked. But it was God's word. It was God's counsel. And the Holy Spirit, I had to lean on the Spirit. Pastor Chaz has had to lean on the Spirit. We've had to lean on the Spirit to not get discouraged, to stay strong, to keep pursuing every bank that would say no. Oh, well, we'll just go to the next bank. Because God's counsel will stand. The Holy Spirit's going to help you in life. He's going to counsel you with God's counsel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Don't turn there, but listen, Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Proverbs 20:5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And here's where we get back to our partnering with the Holy Spirit. He is in us. He does dwell in us. Therefore, we do have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we do know the plans, the purposes, and the things of God. But we must draw them out. We must believe that they're there. We must take the time, come on, to pray into them, to seek God. We must get out of this natural way of living and live in the daily help, counsel, teaching, guiding of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that we're going to win the race and do it well. It's the call of the Christian. Every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says when you do, you speak with tongues. Every believer must speak with tongues. It's not a choice. We choose to follow God. We obey God. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. And then we speak in tongues and pray in tongues every day. He is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He leads us into the good things. I remember one time, just small things that he really helps us with. This was many years ago, again, my early days, because I was working it. I was wanting to see these things at work in my life. That's why I remember them so vividly. Even though they're not all that wow stories, they're real to me. At that time in my life, I was taking these particular vitamins. And this was way before the internet. This was way before online, because I'm like Miss Amazon shopper online. Everything comes to my house always. But that was before this day. So you would have to actually drive places. Can you believe that? You young people, can you believe that? We actually drove places. We drove places to get things. And so I had these special vitamins that I liked and I was taking, and who knows why I liked them. You know, you can't never tell with a vitamin what they're doing anyway. But for some reason, I liked them. And so they were way across town, like at least, if no traffic, like at least a 30-minute drive across town. 30 minutes there, then you have to get out, pay for it, get back in the car, at least 30 minutes back. So a good hour. And so I had scheduled it in my schedule, you know, because time, boy, I had stuff to do, you know, things that you got to make happen, you got to be organized, you got to plan this stuff right, you know. So I had a plan. It was a man-made plan, but it was a plan. And I had scheduled it in my day to drive over and get those vitamins. I got in the car, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I start up the car, and I'm like, huh, just this feeling like maybe I shouldn't go. I'm like, well, but, you know, I need those vitamins. I mean, if I don't go get them today, I don't know when I'm going to get them. You know, I've got it in my plan. Come on, working your natural man-made plan. But I just feel like I shouldn't go. And so then all of a sudden, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He is my God. He wants to help me. So the thought come that I should just maybe call over there. And so I called them up, and an answering service came on. And they had some weird something that had happened that day, and they were totally closed. And so the Lord loved me enough to save an hour worth of my time. He's the helper. He's the helper in life. He helps us, guides us, leads us, teaches us, and he intercedes for us, helps us in the praying area, helps us pray. If you don't take any notes today, I want you to take this one note. Are you ready? If you don't have an effective prayer life, you won't have an effective Christian life. That's my one note for the day. We got to pray. Why? Because we're partnered with God. Because in order for God to get the plan of God, the will of God, God's desires for your life, for other people's life, into the earth, somebody in the earth has to connect with God. Believe it, agree with it, say it. That's why he's always looking for an intercessor, even just one, just somebody that will connect with him, somebody that will make a way. When we pray, we make a way for God to get involved. We must be prayers. Don't turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Listen, in our praying, God understood us in praying. He understood that we needed help. Have any of you ever realized that you needed help when you went to pray? That maybe it just felt like it was just so big. I mean, you knew all the scriptures to say, and you knew maybe the right thing, but it just felt like it was just so big, like I just don't feel like I can get my faith on top of it. Have you ever felt like that? I haven't felt like that. Have you ever felt like when you went to pray, you don't even know what to pray? I mean, you don't even know what the end result's supposed to be. I mean, you got a situation, could be A, could be B, could be C. You don't really know. You don't even know. We need help. Do you know that sometimes we find out the thing way out there, but then we don't know how to get there? And I want to encourage you again. The way to get there is not by your own natural, man-made, in your timing, by your desire steps. That's not the way to get there. The way to get there is through the Holy Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit reveal things and show things and make the way for you to make that step. He'll make a much better road, a much better path than you could ever do. We need help. Part of the Holy Spirit's job is to help us pray. He helps us pray. First of all, that ought to help you realize that prayer can be quite exciting. Because I'm praying with the Holy Spirit. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows all things? I mean, I love one thing about the Holy Spirit is he's the ultimate optimist. So just about the time you bow your head and you're like, oh, Lord, he's like, yes, it's going to be okay. And you're like, yes, it's going to be okay. He's our helper. Romans chapter 8, turn there real quick. In praying, he's our helper. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's tongues, by the way. Now, who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Go back to the top. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. And then it goes on to talk about praying. He helps us pray. He helps our prayers be effective. He knows what to pray. We don't always know, but he knows. We must know that. We must first of all believe in the help of the Holy Spirit. I have found that people that lack in prayer many times, really the problem is that they don't really know what the Holy Spirit will help them do in prayer. Because if you don't know that and have faith in that, then you'll find yourself not praying. But when you really know that the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you, hook arms with you, get in your heart, come on, take over your mouth and pray some really powerful, godly, holy stuff. Woo! It's like, look out, I'm fixing to pray. He helps us in our weaknesses. The King James Version there says infirmities, but it's not talking about an infirmity of the body. That word breaks down to weaknesses, meaning our inability to produce results. Any of you ever felt like that in life? Like you don't know what to do at this moment that could possibly produce any kind of anything. But the Bible says the Spirit helps us in our inability to produce results. Just sitting down and praying in the Holy Ghost for 10 minutes can change everything. He helps us. He helps us pray. He's been given to us as a helper. We shouldn't feel overwhelmed. We ought to be able to take things in prayer. And when we take things in prayer, another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he takes the burden off of us. So that we don't pray from a burden down. No, oh, I roll that high under the help of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm light and now I'm free. No, I just pray according to the will of God, knowing everything's going to be okay because the Holy Spirit's right here. He's the burden taker. He's the caretaker, not me, not you. Even for other people's lives, even for your grown kids, for all the things that are going on crazy out there, he's the burden taker. You're going to have to roll your burdens on him.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.